So she's like, well, what do you guys call like the next generation? And I was like, what's up, shorty? And she's like, no. And then I was like, new school? And she was like, that is it.
That was artist and clothing designer Nathan Tan. I'm Jeff, and this is Storied San Francisco, a podcast all about the artists, activists, and small businesses that make this city unique. Welcome to part two of my episode on Nathan. If you missed part one, please go back and check that out. We pick up where we left off, hearing of Nathan's various jobs after college, leading up to the time his first kid was born. Shortly after that, Nathan launched New School Clothing and Accessories, which this year is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Here's Nathan.
And so still the conservative Asian side, family side of me told me, hey, how about business and art together? That's design, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went into the design and industry department.
And so that's at State?
This is at San Francisco State. I didn't
know they had that. I know they had graphic design, but I didn't know it was like...
This was...
It's graphic design and industrial design or just industry?
So at that time, design and industry was like... For me, I had an emphasis in visual communication. I was like learning a set type by hand, bro. Oh, like this is all like very hands-on old equipment. Now everything I did there would be considered, you know, like an art form, like letterpress, you know? So 89, I graduated in 94. And during those years, airbrushing was becoming really popular. So I think the next version of us, I say us, me and my graffiti partner, we opened an airbrush store in the Bayview.
Oh, shit.
And I was not 20. And I remember being so proud that we opened that shop before I turned 20. I was like just 19 something. Anyway, so we opened one of the first airbrush stores in the Bay Area that did hip hop graffiti on overalls and jeans and the very Belle Biv DeVoe, you know, New York shirt kings fade, you know, like that kind of stuff. And we learned that, rest in peace to Rodney and what's up to the Feds crew in Chicago. We learned a lot of that airbrushing stuff from them.
Yeah.
They were already doing it. And
amazing. And now you opened a business.
So this is opening up our own business.
You had a fucking
19,
business, 19, yeah.
20 years old. We kept that because we were doing it from our separate houses and we thought, why not open a business?
Yeah.
So we were able to find a little spot on 3rd Street and our rent was $300.
Wasn't that a lot then?
No, it wasn't a lot, but it wasn't a little. It just was enough to keep us honest.
Yeah.
You know, and had to pay some rent. And
what was it called?
Masterpiece Creators.
Oh, that was just the name of the store.
Yeah.
Boom.
And we wrote Masterpiece Creators on the front windows and had characters and airbrushed and painted this all by ourselves. Created like these airbrush stalls for us to work from inside.
Amazing.
And and this is before being 21, you know. So that whole entrepreneurial bug, like seeing where I ended up, it's the story was telling itself.
Yeah. And you're just living it.
Yeah.
This is your life.
Which is, again, very me. I don't plan. I plan, but I don't plan. I kind of like let life give me cues and then go with it.
I take a similar approach. I relate to that. It's like, how much control can we really have? A little bit.
A little bit.
We can be intentional.
You could be aware.
You got to be open, though.
Yeah, because I think about the top three things, you know, let's say business-wise, that happened to me in the last 3 years. None of those were planned.
Planned, yeah.
None of those happened because I want to go find this person to go partner with on all these classes and mentoring. And it never works out.
Right.
But that person came into my life, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I try to, you know, I have my business plan every year, but I always try to keep myself open for those magic things that happen.
To listen, to look and listen, right? And yeah. Okay. So
we're here already at college opening this business, and then
you still living at home,
and I'm still living at home,
right? So rent free.
I mean, I'm paying my tuition, so that was.
You'd be like paying for your own food.
No. I was lucky. I was so lucky.
So you're saving.
No
money.
No, hell no.
Well, from you weren't spending it on that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
you're spending it on other stuff.
Sure. I mean, I was a very lucky kid, and
right.
So I'm graduated in 94 and
from state,
and I didn't have a job lined up right away. And I remember trying to apply to Disney as an animator, and that was I was like kind of interested in video games, and
working for Disney would have meant a move to LA.
Or... yeah,
right.
So
there is entertaining leaving at least.
Probably I wasn't even thinking that far.
Right, that's so funny.
You say that because yeah. I was like, oh yeah, and I would have hated moving.
Totally.
For sure. I'm such a Bay Area kid.
Yeah.
So I did a little stint in the video game industry as a tester, and then I was able to get some freelance work at that same time. So it was like really cool, you know, but it just wasn't my people. And I knew that. And then after that, I was really lucky. I got a call from a friend that I went to college with at State. She said there was a entry-level graphic design position open. It's a little firm in San Francisco.
Okay.
I go and apply. I had no experience besides me building my portfolio at home with Photoshop.
I was going to say this is computer.
Yeah. So I'm using...
assisted graphic design.
Yeah. Now. Again, shout out to my parents for buying me that Mac 2C or whatever you know. And
the beige one?
I don't know what it was, but it was like at the end of college, or I just said I really needed a computer to learn to draw.
Right.
And so, I got the job, 12 whopping bucks an hour. And the best part of that job is I met my wife.
Okay.
So this is now me really growing up, right? So I met...
95?
So no, this is 97.
97, okay.
So...
dang, y'all have been together a minute.
Yeah, we have.
Wow.
So we were so lucky.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's cool.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah. She worked there?
God dang it. Why you got to bring that up?
Oh,
okay,
no.
This sounds so terrible, okay? But we were both, we're almost the same age, right? But
yeah.
She was the intern from FIDM.
Yes.
And I'm like the new guy. There was one other graphic designer there, but I was a new guy, and so we would even have to go pick up lunch together, you know, and like carry it back. So
yeah.
It was a very small company.
Uh-huh.
And then so that's my love, Margie, and so then I left that job.
Were y'all still doing this shop in Bayview at the time?
No, that lasted like a year and a half.
Okay.
I won't go too much into this, but from like 96 to 99, we're like recording music, like a demo.
Okay.
You know, because we wanted to be graffiti writers that also were MCs, you know.
Right.
So we're messing around and making music and all this, and that all, like, all... music groups ended with nothing happening, you know.
Was it just vocals, or were y'all doing music too? The music.
We were literally hiring producers to create the ideas we had in our heads with all these samples, you know. So we were huge music fans.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we made all these demos that now we, as you know, old dudes, we listen and crack.
I was gonna
because,
say,
you know, that was half our life ago, literally.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So we were only
right.
like in our mid 20s when we recorded that music.
Right.
So anyway, this was right around the time where I'm working full time. I'm meeting Margie, and then my career is really starting to take off as a graphic designer.
Okay.
So I had that little first job, but then after that, I was lucky I answered the phone because some designer from Mervyn's headquarters called said, "We're looking for a graphic designer." Can you imagine? She had the guts to just call a little design firm and say, and so long story short, I took the interview, got the job.
With Mervyn's. Was it called Mervyn's California?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
where were they based?
Hayward.
Okay.
So I'm driving all the way to Hayward.
Fucking Mervyn's.
And I'm designing the home good patterns, the women's sleepwear patterns and graphics.
Yes.
So I'm learning how to do like apparel graphics, you know, home good products. And I'm learning to create like the mill sheets for the factories. So this is my education in becoming a designer.
Clothing designer.
I use all this every day.
Right.
Today, you know. So
did you have to go to Hayward for that job?
Wow. That was the worst job I ever had.
Okay.
In the corporate world, probably. I just had an awful team I was working on. I was a young, bright, happy dude, you know, and everyone there was fucking miserable,
bitter,
real bitter. Shitty, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we would call them garmentos, you know, like they just were not happy. And so I got out of there, like all like the people who I felt were my people there, they all left too.
So at this job, you did find people.
Some.
So, yeah.
But you know,
because it was bigger
place. And some of the designers were not uppity and they were just like surfers really, but they she was a good designer, so she would design stuff, you know. So there was some people there that I was like, okay, you know, like I have more people stuff in common with these people than I did in the video game industry probably,
right?
And then I was learning things, and then after that I knew I had to get out of there, so I started applying. And I applied to Gymboree, which was a very popular kids company.
A mall store, typically,
and
right?
It's a mall store, so it's
strip
getting
malls and malls.
It's getting bigger.
Yep.
You know,
they based here also, or
I believe it started here in the Bay Area.
Okay, did not know that.
Late '70s started as a play program. They realized that hey, these kids need play clothes, and ba boom.
Yeah,
that's how you figure something out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I showed my portfolio there and was very much one of the few guys coming in to work there. It's very much a female dominated industry.
Oh, okay.
So I was the boys designer. I got to do graphics and bring, you know, all these baseball growing up shenanigans to the table. Like they, you know, you need to be a playful designer sometimes. So,
right.
You know, so that was a pretty cool job. Actually, they had a company that was trying to target the tween market. So between youth and adult.
10 to 12 kind of thing?
Totally, dude. And it was such a hard market. And they were maybe 20 years too far ahead, you know?
Mm.
And they were called Zootopia. And so,
oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Just an amazing little ride to be a young designer and to get to go to LA to these, you know, go explore the fashion district
and expos and stuff.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then seeing my stuff made.
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Were you still graffiti writing in these days? Because now you're getting into like
my late 20s.
Jobs.
So that's what's crazy.
And were y'all married yet?
So Margie and I were married in 99.
Okay, so married and jobs.
So married in 99 and all the way up to kids. Yeah, like so a big part of hip hop is mentoring to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentored along the way, but I believe in 97 is when I met probably my best student in terms of like who stuck with it the longest and kind of not made a career out of it, but he's like well known for his art, you know, and his name is Sater. And
your protege?
Yeah, my protege. So he came to career day I was working at Atari testing video games.
Back to video games.
Yeah. This is in 97, I guess, or 96.
Yeah.
And he came there, you know, his friend's mom said, oh, come here and just hang out in the test department one day. And then, and that's a whole podcast in itself. But, but yeah, I was able to mentor him.
Right on.
You know,
are y'all still tight today?
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
So let's talk about New School. Do you want to talk about having kids? I read in your bio that kind of changed your life.
For sure.
Which happens.
So we're going along pretty chronologically, Jeff. I appreciate all this time, you know.
Yeah.
I hope it's interesting.
Oh, totally. Oh,
so,
totally.
So after meeting Margie and then kind of more settling down and like starting to, you know, plan getting married and, we were really lucky. We both had these pretty steady jobs. We bought a house in 99 in Westlake in Daly City. And like a lot of people, we went through the ups and downs of owning a home. You know, we're so blessed to own a home again, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a whole journey, you know. Yeah.
Sorry, every time you say Westlake, I know that where you're talking about, but I also just... I want this podcast to give a shout out to Joseph West.
Joseph West.
I just got a quick shout out. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I grew up
the OG Joes, and I'm not mad at the new one.
Yeah, you know, it changed a lot.
It's just not the same. The food is the same, I think. It's like I love old
people food.
I mean, the
way they cook the veggies. But no, it's all
like
good.
Like steamed veggies.
I love my Westlake elderly folks, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up right there by the Westlake Shopping Center.
Yeah.
First job.
Okay. There. Okay.
But so, yeah, I was still doing pieces into my late 20s. And that's when it started transitioning where there were places you could go paint legally. There were some places that were just like those Hall of Fames that were kind of questionable whether you could paint there or not. But I would hit up some of those places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teaching Sater really kind of continued my graffiti career because he was at least, I want to say, 10 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So he was, you know, learning from me. We're painting together and he's keeping me active. Mm. And then eventually, you know, he had to go out and write with more people his own kind of thing, training wheels off. Yeah, he just kept going, you know. So nice. so good.
Nice.
Yeah, so then my son was born in 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, here's a little I don't know what you call this in movie making, but this is definitely like the crescendo before the end.
Oh.
So all this time I'm working, doing my graphic design career, and I wind up at the duty free stores
in the airport.
Yeah, I wind up being a graphic designer for them.
I'm guessing they have like an office at the airport.
First in Market.
There you go.
Very corporate.
Yeah.
And
is that so? Would that one just be for SFO, or is it like for like a region of airports?
It was for
all of them.
All of them.
Oh shit!
So
like even in other countries.
So I was like in charge of creating graphics for the souvenir department worldwide.
Oh shit.
So we would have every destination in Asia, just
wow,
America. I mean,
that hurts my head a little bit to think that there's one company that has to do all those, and then be at least one section of the store has to be hyper local.
Yeah.
How do you even do that?
Well, it's not like, it's so crazy how business is. Now, San Francisco's main business in terms of retail is like tourist/local boutiques.
Right.
Right. And
right,
I saw
right,
that right. develop and change over the years, which is super interesting to me. But, you know, the airport is only so real. You know, like they're going to be like Golden Gate Bridge, Chinatown,
cable car.
You know, so the icons.
Maybe a burrito if we're lucky. Not even, no.
That's very, you know, like maybe if their buyer is hip as hell, you know. But for the most part, tourists just want the things that are very prominent.
Iconic.
So, you know, and then you move over to Singapore and then they're like, okay, well, you got to do that thing called the Merlion, you know. Mm. And so I learned all these big icons from different countries from managing that department and hiring illustrators. I mean, that was a great job for me.
Yeah.
And I was there for about 3 years. My wife's pregnant with my kid. We had Sean in 2003. I'm on paternity leave. Bring him home from the hospital. We just bought a house in West Portal.
Oh.
We're at home for 1 hour, Jeff. And the phone rings and it says DFS. And I'm like, wow, that's classy. They're calling to congratulate us. And I just walked in the door.
Yeah.
Boom. Nathan Tan, you no longer have a job. This is HR. You've never met us before, but we're laying you off. There were company-wide layoffs today. And this is actually all kind of a result of 9/11.
Okay.
Because the tourism business at the airport went down.
Yeah.
So that
just happened to coincide with your paternity leave just beginning.
You're right. Yeah, so that really affected the tourism business.
Yeah.
Completely, right?
Right.
So this is 2003. So then I freaked out, handed our kid to my wife and said, okay, I got to go downtown and get my files, which is so funny. It's so like prehistoric of me to think I need my graphics, you know.
In the box, right?
I'm going down to get, you know.
With a drive.
With a floppy SyQuest drive or whatever. I'm trying to get like all my files off my computer. And, you know, it's just like doomsday. I go downtown. There's no parking. People are, you know, almost evacuating the building, crying. They lost their job. So fast forward, you know, Jesus, 21 years later, I've owned New School for 20 years.
Oh, wow. So that's the next thing you did was New School.
Right. So that was the best thing that ever happened.
Like, I'm going to be my own boss.
I was forced to be my own boss. I was already sampling shirts on Mission Street, a little factory on my lunch break.
Okay.
And that clothing line was Nate One Design. Mm. And I just went the very typical route. You know, I'm an old school graffiti artist. I'm going to start a graffiti kind of shirt line and sell it to guys like me. I mean, that's like such a dumb business plan, you know, so done a million times over. Yeah. So after a year of, I was so lucky. After 2 weeks, I started freelancing.
Okay.
For a company in Sausalito. So I'm like driving to Sausalito. I'm getting my work. I'm coming home. I'm working at home now. I bought a printer. I'm printing out my designs. I'm starting my own design firm, but it's just me, you know?
And did it start out kids clothing only?
New School?
Yeah.
So I had that experience in my pocket of working at Gymboree and designing kids graphics, right? So.
And now you have a kid.
And then now I have a kid, which is so inspirational,
right,
to having a clothing line. So I basically, while I was freelancing, after a year, I had the idea to start a kids line. I remember brainstorming with my wife about, hey, I'm going to do this kids line. And she goes, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, I want to do, you know, hip hop, cool kind of clothing for parents like
that are young like us, right?
And well, you were still young.
We weren't even 30, right?
I was gonna say, wait, pushing 30.
No, I was 32. Yeah. And Margie's younger than me, so she was still in her 20s. So she's like, well, what do you guys call like the next generation? And I was like, what's up, shorty? Oh. And she's like, no. And then I was like, New School? And she was like, that is it.
That's it.
So I owe so much to Margie, you know, like, for sure. So that was the name. Yeah. Of course, I spelled it hip hop style, S-K-O-O-L.
Hell yeah.
And that was it, 2004.
Did you already hit 20 years or is it coming up in a month or what? Yeah.
I don't know the exact, I bet you $1 million it's already been 20 years.
It's been 20.
You know, I just... Congrats, called 2000. Man. Thank you. I just called 2004 the official year.
Yeah,
but I'm sure at some point in 2003 I was already tinkering with this. Hey, this men's line thing is just whatever.
Yeah,
and starting to think of what was the next thing. But
right,
I officially call it 2004.
So I'm in Nathan's studio, and I guess I'm gonna call
sure,
you Nathan.
That's cool.
I'm in Nate One's studio. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I'm seeing like art on campuses, and that's how our paths intersected.
It is.
When did this start for you, or was it already kind of there?
No, I started painting on canvas, I guess at the end of college. I'm starting to paint on campuses. This is in the mid 90s, and I'm really experimenting. I'm trying to like, you know, nothing is new under the sun. There was the New York graffiti writer generation that did all this before us. You know, they did that. They had a 10-year life of graffiti from the beginning to 10 years, and then all the stuff that comes with it, you know, like graffiti galleries, fashion shows, all that stuff. I was lucky enough to be able to study all that. So I could see how, okay, certain artists in New York, they transition their wall work, their train work to the canvas in this way, or some do this thing, or some totally become illustrators or something different. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to be able to show my roots and be proud of my graffiti roots and my painting. So I'm using spray paint on canvases.
Yes.
I'm starting to experiment like with subject matter. It's like graffiti and writing is so letter based,
right?
So then you're like, well, what do you do? So I'm like drawing like one letter on a canvas because that's all I could fit, and this is very typical of a young graffiti artist breaking away from the typical medium, like a wall, a train, a bus, you know, like, right. And then now you have this static still canvas, you know, and you want to bring that energy to the canvas. So that's all kind of like what I went through for years. So I started painting.
You're also not out in the elements.
It's
different. You're usually inside.
Yeah.
In your own space.
It's totally different.
It's a control thing too, right? Like you It's yours.
Yeah. And it's funny because I grew up painting looking over my shoulder, basically, right?
That's what I mean. Like, so right?
I feel like I'm a very fast painter.
Right, I paint
quickly because it's like I've
always...
You paint
paranoid.
I used to completely paint paranoid, you know?
Okay.
But I think the speed thing is just part of my process now.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to let go of the 1%, you know, sometimes it's not perfect, but hey, it's up.
Mm-hmm.
We got the spot. Like, mm-hmm. let's get out of here.
Let's
you know,
leave, yeah.
No one's going to see that drip.
Yep.
You know, so I've taken some of those philosophies and put them into my canvas work. So.
I think it shows 100%.
So you're right.
If I saw this and had no idea who you were, I would be like, I might be like, oh yeah, this guy used to write.
You would maybe see
or just it. Like used to do public art of some sort. Like it feels like all of your art does.
I think I would say. I mean,
part of like what I'm looking at right now in your studio is like the spray aspect.
Sure. Sure. That's like something Fair I guess spray. Synonymous with my work, you know.
Yeah.
Most of it I use like some sort of spray paint in the background as the first layer.
Right.
Yeah. But I also it's funny, I really enjoy watercolors now.
Oh.
And that's something I've started in 2010.
Okay.
But it's so funny. I really enjoy that because it's, I don't know, maybe the control of it or how fast that is. Like, to me, watercolors are really fast.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like, I have no artistic bone in my body.
Well, to me, I feel like I have to spend so much more time on a painting with acrylic.
Okay.
Than I would on a watercolor.
That makes sense.
Watercolors to me are like sketches.
Right.
More so, and I'm a fast sketcher, so
okay,
you know, so
I would like to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, I would love it if you could respond to this. Every season on Storied SF,
mm-hmm.
and we're in our sixth season now. We have
congratulations to you,
thank
Jeff.
You, I appreciate
That's
that.
Amazing.
Thank you. Every season, we have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
This season, I'm not even going to go into what this means to me or how I came up with it or why, but our theme is we're all in it. What does that mean to you?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is just living this post-pandemic life. I think the pandemic really was a big shakeup for me personally and business-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just turned inside, you know, all of a sudden I'm around my kids 24/7, you know, and my wife, and we're all working from home. And then my business changed a lot. And yeah. I feel like the aspect, I've always been about community and helping, mentoring. But I feel like after the pandemic, it's so much more in the forefront,
mm-hmm.
where people need mentoring. They need like help with their businesses, and definitely not by coincidence, that's something I'm doing more so after the pandemic, is continuing to mentor people. Now I'm mentoring groups of people, that's all with Hunt and Gather Gallery, which is something new for me too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that adds to the community aspect for me, because mm-hmm. I live so close to Irving Street and the Sunset,
mm-hmm.
that I can be there to help, you know, and to me that's more fulfilling than like paintings, you know, or anything. I mean, I'm proud of my paintings, of course, but now like my new thing is like being happy to help someone mm-hmm. start their business and achieve success.
In a way, that's new school.
Yeah.
That's it's mentoring.
The next right? generation yeah. of business, the next San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone it doesn't come across every time, but if it's things that are very San Francisco related, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sometimes older than these younger designers, I can like give them a little insight into like the culture of San Francisco that I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
that was so multicultural
mm-hmm.
and just dope. It was, and I guess coming from a hip hop perspective also, you're kind of judged on your skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of throws colors, nationality, socioeconomic, all that crap goes out the window, and it's basically what can you do, You know, so that's how I look at the old school San Francisco. It was just so cool, you know.
Right on.
So I want to continue that vibe, and I still see it. You know, a lot of people bitch about San Francisco's not cool, and I always say, it's still cool. You just have to know where to look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know? It's true.
So.
Okay, so what I would want to end with is what's coming up maybe the next couple months, and how do people find and follow you and New School and find anything that you're selling, clothing or art, things like that?
So, yeah, I mentioned earlier that this is 20 years for New School. I'm really proud.
Amazing.
Really grateful.
You're a legacy business, dude.
God, is that what I am now? I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful to my family for helping me, my wife, my parents, my kids, just like allowing me to have this different kind of lifestyle. You know, I'm really lucky that I feel like I'm more in control of my time than some people are, you know? So I try to appreciate that every day and not bitch about the little things, you know? And New School Now, we have accounts, some across the country.
Oh, cool.
Some, you know, we have a very heavy Bay Area family where we work with small local boutiques all over the Bay Area. And I love getting to collaborate with them and design things specifically sometimes for their particular customers. And then that goes back to my design background where I'm able to come up with stuff and be like, hey, I know you're at Stonestown, but you know, this is just for you. I know, you know, like I love doing that now. This year it's all about celebrating New School's 20th anniversary, revisiting some old graphics like the headphone graphic that put us on the map, and coming up with some special surprises.
Oh, okay.
You know, dropping throughout the whole year.
Stay tuned kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, on my social media, which has now become such a big part of my work. So you can find me at New School SF. That's at NEWSKOOLSF. And also for more art related posts, Nate1 Design. So that's at NATE1DESIGN, Nate1 Design. And I really enjoy posting. I've become this wannabe comedian that my wife and my kids are mortified that I'm doing this.
They're your test audience. If they hate it, then it's going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, it's going up.
Is it dad humor?
Oh, that's like my middle name. It's just like corny dad
humor. This is why we get along too. I don't have kids, but I've got the dad humor.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so that's kind of my life. I'm really lucky. I get to design clothes, sell clothes, work with these stores, go visit, help them, talk to customers, run into customers. I'm just a very lucky person, you know, artist. So
that was Nathan Tan, owner of New School Clothing and Accessories. On the next episode of Storied San Francisco, we'll head to the Outer Richmond to meet Danny Montoya, owner of Butterfly Joint and Cafe. Episode 15 drops next Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts. Music for Storied San Francisco was produced, performed, and curated by Otis McDonald. Aaron Lim of Bitch Talk Podcast is our contributing producer. And the show is produced and hosted by me, Jeff Hunt. Now in our sixth season, we have more than 200 episodes available on our website, storiedsf.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're able to, please rate and review the show, and drop us a line at storiedsf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Keep rejecting those silly doom loop narratives about our city. Stay wacky, weird, healthy, and creative. And we'll see you next time on Storied San Francisco. We acknowledge and respect the first humans of the unceded land we call San Francisco, the Ramaytush Ohlone. We condemn the genocide of these and other tribes across the Western Hemisphere. We honor their legacy and history, and we support rematriation and sovereignty efforts.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.